you just have that inkling, you have that little feeling that something is going to transpire, and it did.
You're talking to police officers, madam. I think you're trying to hide something.
Like what? I stood and watched them as they searched my car. Absolutely nothing illegal was found. However, when I asked, please may I be released and go home, I was told...
You're coming to the police station.
For what, though? I don't understand what I've done.
Moments later, I'm in handcuffs. And it was quite belittling. But at the same time, it was an eye-opener for me at the same time to know that in the height of a pandemic, that you could be treated in such a manner with little to no respect.
Racism is very common within the hospital environment. It's so common, you can't really fail to see it when you're a black nurse. My experience of being on the front line during lockdown was very unpleasant. Seeing so many people, also seeing colleagues being taken ill, it was devastating and very scary. The sudden interest in the suffering of black people is... it brings mixed emotions for me. I feel more confident to speak about the racism that I've personally experienced without being told I've got a chip on my shoulder or I'm playing a race card. As a result of what medical staff have experienced on the front line during the pandemic and also the Black Lives Matter protests, we've found that some of our white colleagues have actually started to listen to us.
So during COVID, did you, because you said you feel like things have got worse over the years, did you feel... did you experience more racism?
The racism was very quite clear for black nurses. Where I worked in an area that is predominantly white, and I'd been working in this A&E for probably, I don't know, a year on the agency, and I became acutely aware that I didn't see any black patients, but obviously I thought, well, you know, it's a predominantly white area, so you don't really expect to see any black patients. But COVID, oh my gosh, that was such a difference to what I was used to seeing in that particular hospital. Every single patient that come in was black. I guess that kind of heightened my fear because there was often times where I couldn't get PPE. And again, we found that we was being disproportionately allocated to more high-risk areas, especially being black agency nurses, and that seemed quite apparent across the board. And me and my black colleagues would notice it and we'd have conversations.
The stresses of lockdown, of you know, not being able to be around your family, not being able to be at work, and you know, especially working with young, vulnerable young people as well, and, you know, and not having the direct communication that you, that I would do on a normal day to day. There's a point where, as a young black person, the world shows you what it means to be black. It wears on you. And I try to be there for them as much as possible. Even from a distance. That's what keeps me going. So thank you for coming. Thank you for taking your time this afternoon to come and speak with me. As you know, we're living in unprecedented times at the moment. And a difficult time, but also a time of change, as you've seen in the media. There's a lot of negative perceptions that go hand in hand with us as black people and black people as a culture. How did you take to seeing those incidents?
The dog situation that happened first, that one kind of annoyed me. That one was like, okay, what's she doing? Like, why is she doing this? It doesn't really make sense. And then to have the George Floyd situation kind of just hit us on the back of that.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like.
They both combined and then they just kind of escalated each other so much more than they should have.
Yeah.
And I think, Clay, like, everything was just coming together so quickly. And then being in lockdown as well made it even worse because you couldn't talk to people and talk about it like you normally would. Now we're at home, so we can't do anything about it. We can't talk about it face to face. So it was very hard.
I'm pretty thick-skinned, and I would say I'm very resilient. But we all need support. And sometimes I find that support from my elders. Uncle Pat.
Hello.
How you doing, sir? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Just thought I'd check in on you. It's been a long time, man, long time. And I need to check in and see how things are with you, you know?
Yeah, we've been blessed, you know? We've been blessed, and you take nothing for granted, because nothing that comes easy is worth having, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Of course. You know, seeing things that happened previously over in America and in the UK as well, it was still going through my mind that even at that point, I could be the next one.
I shed tears privately when I saw, and I only need to see it once, the George Floyd situation.
Yeah.
I mean, I turned away every other time because it wasn't going to change.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I was helpless in that case. But you saw the callousness of the eyes and the face of the people who carried out this action.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this sad element of enjoyment, of power.
Yeah.
In his eyes. I couldn't see that was wrong.
Yeah, for sure. I become disillusioned at times, and I know it becomes stressful at times, and I go home, and I'm stressed, and I have a headache, and I'm tired. I'm just at that point now in my time where enough is enough for me.
It will be all right. It won't be today or tomorrow. Don't give up.
So I had my own experience with the police recently, whereby I was just sitting in my car having a conversation, and unfortunately I was taken back to the station and locked up for 18 hours. I ended up being charged for failing to get out of my car quickly enough. The charge, fortunately, was overturned on the 22nd of May 2020, which was 3 days before the death of George Floyd.
this is where I was parked up, waiting for the post office to open, as I'm a key worker, and I was waiting to go into work shortly after. The police passed me straight along here, and we saw each other. We clocked eyes. I know they saw me, and I saw them. Moments later, they just came back and just demanded that I get out of the car. For a few moments, you know, I was agitated, I was confused. I got out of the car, moved to the passenger side, and just stood there, just with my hands in my pocket, just thinking like, okay, what's the worst that can happen? And then moments later, I'm in handcuffs under Section 23 of the Misuse of Drugs Act, because they deemed that they could see cannabis flakes in my car. And I was like, been here for like 30 seconds. I've been here for how long I've been here for. You've just made that assumption within, you know, no physical testing. You know, and I've shown you who I am as a professional, and I'm in handcuffs on the side of the road, 9:30 in the morning. It was quite belittling. But at the same time, it was an eye-opener for me. There's something cathartic about knowing you're not the only one going through these things. One of my childhood friends was stopped by the police several times during lockdown. He put on a brave face. It's tiring.
Yeah, I mean, I've probably been stopped more than you. I probably fit more like of a profile. It's something that you, that's how you grow up being stopped and searched. So you end up thinking it's a normal thing. You can go through your phone book right now and you can get double figures of people that have experienced being stopped and searched by police just in the last year. Like during lockdown one, how many friends and like people around the same age as us did we know that got stopped and searched by police within the first like couple of weeks of the lockdown? We got stopped together, you got stopped by yourself, I got stopped by myself.
The first lockdown when we was together and we were cycling, going to get your godson.
Luckily, I was with you as well. He was trying to calm me down and stuff. But the whole experience of how they didn't say a word and they just jumped out of the car and had the handcuffs out already, handcuffed me without even saying a word to me or telling me what they was looking for or searching for. And just the way that they tried to deal with you anyway and stuff like that. And so it's like you said, I was going to get my godson. Imagine if we were with him, and that was kind of that was an experience he had to see as well. Do you know what I mean?
My feeling towards that was like, rah, I don't need to go left.
Yeah.
I kind of sense like the things that he was saying, trying to wind you up.
What do you say to me? He asked me for my title, like Mr. or whatever, and he was like, I know it's not doctor. Or something. He said, "I know it's not doctor," or something like that. And I can't remember what I said.
Said something like you're one away from being a doctor or something like that.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I've got a couple of degrees under my belt. Yeah. They try to wind you up. They try to get a reaction from you so they can have an excuse to arrest you or lock you up. What can you do? It's like every system's against us. You just feel hopeless.
Yeah, and like, it's almost this sort of that acceptance that, you know, it's going to happen. It just feels like we're just weathering it. But I had to watch the George Floyd video a few times. The first time it didn't really sink in, I didn't really take it in. It was one of those ones where I just saw the video quickly. And I switched off from it. It wasn't until I went back to the video a few hours later and you actually saw the context and understood what was actually taking place in this footage and in this video. And hearing him mutter those words that he can't breathe and asking for his mum, and the officer's still with his foot and with his knee in his neck, and the smirk and the Asian officer protecting the other officer as well. It's just modern day lynching for me, just with cameras. And it was like he was just playing a character in a movie. the cameras were rolling, you know, and this was his big moment. I'm actually gonna show you what we actually feel about black people, and I'm gonna do it live on camera. Funny enough, we've got the police right behind us. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, they're training me. They can train me all they want. They're training me right now. How funny is that?
Seeing so many videos of black people being mistreated by the police, it's absolutely devastating. I find it so stressful being a mother and also having family members who could also be the next person who is suffering at the hands of the police.
When I was handcuffed, my instant feeling was, imagine if I didn't know how to communicate and handle my emotions and remain calm. What if I did raise my tone and I did something out of character? Would I have been another a George Floyd or Mark Duggan?
It took 8 minutes, 46 seconds. The murder of George Floyd to wake up the rest of the world.
Well, you got him down, man. Let him breathe, least, man. Let him breathe. I've been trying to hear about him. He's so he breathe. Breathe, looking for him. Neck, man. One of my homies died. You know, you went back for me.
My brother just died, you see.
Why?
Man, I can't breathe my face. Just get up.
What do you want?
I can't breathe. Please, the knee in my dick. I can't breathe. Uh-huh.
Bro, get up, get in the car, man.
I will.
Get up, get in the car.
I can't move.
I've been fighting the whole time. Bro, get up, get in the car.
Us reverse within 10 minutes. Oh, what did he tell you? We burgled a shop. What have we done? That's wrong. We look suspicious. Oh, we look suspicious. Oh, so what is it then? Why are you stopping us then? Because we look suspicious.
That you paid them attention.
Oh my! So we can't look at you driving past. Looking at the police. Dealing with the job. Yeah. Okay, so that's suspicious.
I got stopped here coming out my house 2 weeks ago, and I'm walking out my house again. and I've been stopped again. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing?
So the reason I stopped you is because I haven't seen you before and I've been a local officer for a long, long time here. So I've turned round and then when we came out to Kings Avenue, your car had disappeared.
If I drove past you, if I was a white person, I drove past you, you would have turned around and come afterward.
Maybe not today.
Well, I'll tell you why we want to speak to you. Your windows are too tinted. Both detained for a search under Section 1 of the Police and Criminal Evidence Act, the reason being that I believe you have stolen property in the car. You're under arrest for obstructing a constable. The reason for your arrest is to prevent injury to yourself and injury to me or any of my colleagues.
Enough is enough.
Enough is enough.
Hopeful for the future, but I can't forget it took the murder of another black man in order for us to be heard.